Yeah, but I do have a hard out at about 9:50 today, so. 9:50.
Fine, let's go then. Hello.
Poor Zoe, too. Ugh.
What's going on? What did you do to her?
She got a little scratch on her paw, and she was, like, licking it obsessively, which is not good, obviously.
Yeah, they do that.
And
yeah,
so,
it's not fun. It's not fun.
No, so we had to take her in and get the cone on her, and boy, does she hate it.
Why don't you get, by the way, welcome into this week's episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. I'm Tyler Moss.
Oh, and I'm Anthony Masterson. We've started.
We're
okay.
Recording now.
Production meeting.
Get one of those, they've got, like, not the hard plastic ones. Now they've got, like, these, like, soft, kind of cushioned ones.
Millennial cones, you mean, for dogs?
Although the problem, I get, with that you could still do it with the more flexible ones. They also have ones that are, like, they're basically just, like, airport neck pillows, but that wouldn't work with a paw injury. If she had, like, something on her side or something.
That's the thing. Like, it's her paw, and she was licking it all the time. So we've coned her only for a couple days. It was a small thing. We got it early, so it's not a huge deal. We got some ointment that she absolutely hates.
Nice.
Like, kicks and stuff, and tries to run away, putting it in her paw. Does not like that at all.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great.
A couple weeks ago, we were walking around, and there's something about my neighborhood. People just love, like, breaking glass bottles places.
Yeah, my neighborhood too. It's cool. Yeah,
it's great. Yeah, it's terrific with a dog. And the other day, we actually, I'm like vigilant about getting her to walk around where there's broken glass. But the other day, we're in this spot in the park. It's a beautiful day, and there's no glass around to be seen at all. And then she starts limping, and then for the rest of the night, she was like licking her paw. I checked her paw a couple times, couldn't see anything, and then I finally noticed, like, the most microscopic little, almost like a pebble of glass in the pad of one of her paws.
Yeah.
So then it was, like, hell, because then I'm, like, trying to get at it with tweezers, and she's trying to run away from me, and I finally ended up getting it, and it was fine, but, oh, God, yeah, no.
I wish, like, dogs could talk, like, for, like, 10 seconds
hey,
a day.
Man, can you get this thing out of my paw, please? Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be extremely helpful. Yeah.
Like 10 seconds a day, that's all you need. That's all I need.
Yeah,
like,
I think that'd be okay. You'd use it like a challenge.
Yes.
Where, like, if you use it too early in the day, you don't get it the rest of the day.
Right.
yeah. But anyway, go Zoe, go Laika, and go PDP. Hello. Welcome to this week's episode. We're talking Colorado Rockies baseball on a day in which, all right, looks like Peter Lambert's a big leaguer.
Sneaky Pete.
I was asked so many times, like, why not Peter Lambert? When's Peter Lambert coming up? Why haven't they called up Peter Lambert? And I was like, you know, I think they just want to see a little bit longer stretch of sustained success from him in Albuquerque. And then it was like 2 weeks later they called him up.
Yeah, well, because they got that sustained success. He had
good.
Like four great starts in a row.
Four out of five, we'll say. He had one at Fresno, four and two-thirds, four runs on six hits on the 13th. But it's, I mean, everything else. He gave up four runs in three of those starts. But, like, when you do the conversion rate for the Pacific Coast League in 2019, that's like a one-run outing.
Yeah, no, he's like a Cy Young winner in the Pacific Coast League.
Yeah, basically. An ERA of 5.07 in the PCL is, he's, you know.
That's like a 2.5, yeah.
Yeah. Let's discuss some Peter Lambert. Your, my, and our Colorado Rockies, coming off of a series loss in Chicago, have still won, 10 of their last 13? And the Rockies will go
10 of 14, 9 of 12? Whatever, they've been playing really well.
One homestand, and then a 2-1 road trip. Yeah, 10 of their last 13. Or one and two road trip. 32-29 overall. They go to New York tonight. We're recording this on Friday the 7th.
I think DeGrom, Mattson, Syndergaard. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great. The Mets are two games under 500. The Rockies traditionally have played like garbage in New York. But the last couple of years, I feel like things have gone a little bit smoother.
Wait, the classic Ian Desmond game last year where he had two home runs off Syndergaard.
Yeah, that made sense.
Yeah. Which he was playing very poorly.
Yeah. We'll discuss that here in a little bit. But the game yesterday, Rockies are trying to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Cubs at Wrigley Field, and they call up Peter Lambert. And, coming off of this decent stretch in Albuquerque, but a guy who is still super young. Peter Lambert just turned 22 a pretty short time ago. I'm trying to remember what his actual birthday was. But he's, I mean, you know, 22, and as Jerry Schimmel said yesterday on the radio broadcast, like, he could be mistaken for a bat boy. Not like, oh, he could be mistaken for somebody's little brother, but like, he could be mistaken
for,
like,
for three children stacked on top of one another, yeah. You mean?
He put that on a t-shirt and then sell it for money, even though it wasn't your idea. April 18th, 1997 was Peter Lambert's birthday. But he was the Rockies' second round pick out of San Dimas High School in California back in 2015.
I hear they have good football.
Peter Lambert is a dude now. He is a dude. And we have all been introduced to his dudeness.
He's officially a dude now.
Yeah.
Like, he just turned 22.
Yeah,
and just you know what?
I'm going to 22 in 2 months.
I'm going to strike out more batters than any other pitcher in Rockies' debut history. Just, you know, NBD.
Seems pretty good. That start yesterday: 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts, 95 pitches, 63 for strikes. If Peter Lambert's not making his major league debut, I think he probably goes out for the 8th. This is
he had his best inning in the 7th.
Yeah, exactly. That's struck out the side. Struck out the side in the 7th, which apparently got us on MLB Network last night.
Yeah. That's a new one.
If you were going to give out scenarios of, like, worst case, likely, and best case, I don't even know if you'd put 7 innings, 1 run, 9 strikeouts against the Cubs on the road as best case. I think that would seem a little optimistic.
Yeah, you'd be like, come on,
let's not go crazy.
Let's pump the brakes. He's still a Rockies, you know, pitching prospect. How
it's
good
not
can he actually
Jennings at Shea Stadium, folks?
I mean,
am I right?
Am I?
But that was pretty awesome yesterday. And as I tweeted last night, the thing that's going to be interesting is Peter Lambert's next start will be against that same Cubs team at Coors Field coming up early next week. So all of the narratives are in play. If things go south in a hurry, then it's a very Coorsy story that you can build around that. What I am interested in that is he'll be facing the same lineup for the second time in a span of 5 days. That's not an easy thing to do for anybody. That's not an easy thing for Randy Johnson to do. But if you're 22 years old and it's your second major league start, how do you adjust? How do you try to keep yourself ahead of what your opponents are going to be looking at after seeing you last time? By the way, Jason Jennings in his major league debut, complete game shutout, 5 hits, 8 strikeouts, 4 walks. He threw 124 pitches in his major league
also
debut.
Hit a big old dong.
And a big old dong in his big league debut. 124 pitches. Yeah. That is.
And what I liked most about Lambert's outing yesterday was that he clearly could not be flapped at any point. Yeah. He was unflappable. Yeah. Started out strong, ended even better. Only walked one batter, and that was pretty much he was trying to avoid anything near the zone on that at bat to get to the pitcher with the bases loaded in the second inning.
Right.
That was the only walk that he had the entire game.
Right.
He was completely in control. Gave up 4 hits and 1 run and 9 strikeouts. And that was the Cubs A lineup. Like, it wasn't, you know, the Rockies Sunday lineup they had in 2012. You know, it was everybody. It was Bryant. It was Rizzo. It was Baez. It was Contreras. Like, all those guys were in the lineup that are normally in the lineup for the Cubbies. So to get through that lineup, I don't care, day game, Wrigley Field, whatever, it's your major league debut, man.
It was pretty damn impressive.
Big time props.
Peter Lambert, I wrote a story on him for Rockies Magazine last year, and in talking to him and in talking to everybody around him, that was the thing that they all said, was like, he cannot be rattled. He is the type of guy who you can't get inside his head. He's got everything so well put together and clicking when he's out there mentally. That, you know, obviously that's going to be tested at the major league level, especially once you start pitching at Coors Field. But that is a tremendous asset to have. And not only that, and I hate sports cliches like this, but I think this one fits him, where it seems like he has a slow heartbeat.
Right.
Peter Lambert didn't show a lot of emotion. I mean, even like the struts, Thomas Harding described it as a strut off the mound after his strikeouts, which I love. He called it a strikeout strut, which I loved. But I think for Peter Lambert, that's just a confidence thing. It's not like he wasn't like, you know, Kyle Freeland gets emotional, gets fiery. John Gray, we've seen, get emotional and get fiery. Peter Lambert, I think, is just like he flips a switch. He's in robotic professional starting pitcher mode. And then I don't think it takes that much for him to just like gear back into being his normal self. Like, he is a very even keel kind of guy.
Yeah, it seemed like even Bud Black yesterday was trying to even have some fun with him before his first at bat, which then he got a hit. And
yeah, the first pitch he saw
in
major leagues.
Buddy was laughing at him, and Peter was like, oh, okay. And it's like, turn around, like, straight face and walk to the plate, and then got a base hit.
Oh, man. We've also learned that Peter Lambert has a nickname that we might not be able to say on the podcast. But just let's say, good for you, man. Good for you.
Some people get all the luck.
So Lambert, and even after the game, Harding described him as, he says, Lambert spoke with a smile rather than with the deadpan of the famous football coach, Bill Belichick, but he approached his debut with a Belichickian matter-of-factness. Quote, I thought I'd go out there and feel the heart pumping at first, but I was all right from the start, Lambert said. Who are you, man?
All right.
The other thing that was cool, and if you were not watching the Cubs telecast, you probably didn't see this, but his brother, Jimmy Lambert, is a pitching prospect in the Chicago White Sox organization. He is currently injured. He's been on the 7-day DL for the last few days, and you kind of wonder if maybe that was an injury that the White Sox sort of drummed up so he could go to Chicago and watch his brother make his major league debut.
Is it this the DL in the minors or the IL? I'm curious. I don't actually know.
Actually, we do now list it as the IL.
Okay.
I think at the beginning of the season, we were still listing it as the DL, but now it is on the site as the injury list. So the 7-day IL. And it is 7 days in the minor leagues, which doesn't really mean anything. It's, I mean, somewhat like the major leagues. It's like a minimum.
Seven can mean 1,000.
But yeah, we saw dudes put on the 7-day back then DL, like on the first week of the season, then we just never saw them again.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Paper moves.
I guess that just doesn't mean anything. Jimmy Lambert this year, who was a fifth round pick of the White Sox the year before his brother went to the Rockies. This was back in 2016. Jimmy Lambert went to Fresno State. This season, he's pitched in 11 games for Double-A Birmingham, 3-4, 4.55 ERA. But he was there yesterday, and that was really cool. And Peter's whole family was there. And, you know, we last week discussed when the Rockies had that lineup a couple of weeks ago of Brendan Rodgers and Ryan McMahon and David Dahl and Trevor Story and Nolan Arenado and all these guys, and you were like, holy cow, this is like exactly what we would have wanted to see a few years ago. The thing that's so neat about this, and we saw this with Brendan Rodgers a couple of weeks ago, we saw it with Trevor Story when he made his big league debut, seeing these guys and their families come up, and like we don't know their families, but like we've interacted with, you know, Trevor Story's mom, for example, on Twitter, or Brendan Rodgers' girlfriend, or these people who have like been in the orbit of all of us being fans, watching these guys grow up. Now you get to see them on TV watching their son or brother or boyfriend or friend or nephew or whoever make his major league debut, and that's really, really cool. And that's something I really like about this franchise right now.
Even my boss was at the UCLA baseball game the other day on Monday, I guess, where Michael Tolia was the Rockies' first round draft pick. And he was there in the stands when it was actually announced. And he saw like Tolia's dad and his mom was there. They were on the field and his dad kept like pumping his fist and his mom was like sobbing and stuff.
That's
and it's
awesome.
And then he went out and like made two errors in the first inning.
Yeah. But, yeah. How about that?
But then he got a couple base hits later.
He's kind of a glove. He's kind of a glove known sort of dude.
Exactly. Like it was his most errors of the game in the season. So
we'll talk about the draft too coming up in a little bit. Like the first couple of picks for the Rockies. Yeah. We're not going to go through all 9,000 picks. I saw one interesting note. The Rockies actually led all major league franchises in selecting Division II players this year, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and it's you know, if you're unaware, it's not like a Division II in basketball or something like that.
Right.
Division II of baseball is like JUCO baseball.
Yeah.
That's really good baseball.
Yeah.
A lot of guys don't love it or take that route because the baseball eligibility rules in college are so archaic. If you don't go out of high school and you choose to go to college
or
your university,
level,
you have to be there for at least 3 years.
Right.
And a lot can happen in 3 years. So a lot of guys will take the JUCO route and get drafted after 1 year at JUCO or 2 years at JUCO instead of the three it takes at a four-year university. So there's a lot of really, really high talent in a lot of those JUCO schools.
The draft discussion we'll have in a little bit. But Peter Lambert is, I mean, kind of the embodiment of what the Rockies have been trying to build over the last, you know, now 5, 6, 7 years in guys coming up through the system. And Herman Marquez is that way when he is good. Kyle Freeland is that way. We'll talk about him in a little while. John Gray is that way and has been that way this year. And this is pretty cool to see it come from a guy who – this is a quick climb. I mean, Peter Lambert, yes, he finished last year at the minor league level at AAA with Albuquerque. But it's not as though he's a guy who has had – just a wealth of AAA experience. He made 11 starts there last year and 11 starts there this year. So not even a full season's worth of starts at the AAA level. Now he's not even 22 in 2 months, comes up to the big leagues, and there he is yesterday throwing seven innings and dominating one of the best offenses in baseball.
Yeah, the only three guys in Rockies history have ever been that young and struck out nine in a game that he did yesterday. He's 22 or younger. And it's him, Herman Marquez, and Jolie Chassin. That's it. That's the whole list of guys that young who have come and made that kind of an impact so far.
He was Jenny Kavnar tweeted when the roster move was announced that he would be the third youngest starting pitcher in franchise history, which I kind of thought, like, how is he third youngest? Like,
yeah,
he might be the third youngest. He certainly looks the youngest, but that surprised me that they've actually had two guys younger. And obviously, Herman Marquez, I think, is just barely older, it seems like, right now, than Peter Lambert.
Right.
But they really might have something in this dude, and that's pretty exciting. Now, next time out will be really interesting when you go against the same lineup for the second time in 5 days.
And no matter what, yeah, no matter who you are.
Right. Same I mean, it could be against the Giants, and you could be facing them both times in San Francisco, and it's not going to be easy to go against the same lineup twice in the span of 6 days. But he certainly gave you something to be pretty excited about.
Yes,
and absolutely. I think the other thing that he did is – and maybe this will transition us to talk a little bit about where Mr. Kyle Freeland was last night. But I think he gives you the fifth starter that you've been looking for. The Rockies have tried to fill that role, you know, Tyler Anderson, obviously, and Chad Bettis, and Jeff Hoffman's been up. And Jeff Hoffman, I think we are seeing some things from Jeff Hoffman that suggest that he may stick.
I liked his start in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even though the overall numbers don't look great, I liked his start a lot.
Right. He had not pitched into the sixth the entire season, and he goes into the sixth and gets lit up a little bit. But the first five innings that Jeff Hoffman threw out there, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Season high in strikeouts, only one walk.
And his stuff looked like it could stick.
Curveball was filthy.
Yes.
I mean, he looked like a raw form of what you thought you were getting when you traded for him, when he was a first round pick and
right.
was a guy who touched, I think Jeff Hoffman was clocked at 104 in college at East Carolina. He looked like that guy, and maybe that's a sign that this is a guy who's slowly getting it figured out. We've had one guy in our mentions for the last couple of starts of Jeff Hoffman, and I admire this guy's consistency and his optimism, and I think he's correct. He said the Rockies need to see Jeff Hoffman out there for 8 or 10 starts on a regular basis to figure out what they have in him. And I think that's valid because Jeff Hoffman, over the course of his career, combined now has made 41 major league appearances, 27 starts dating back to 2016. And none of those have really been with any regularity. And so, you know, 2017 was kind of the one exception. He was up at the big league level for 23 games, 16 starts. But the same way we talked about with hitters, with, you know, when Brendan Rodgers came up, the same way that you can't really get in a groove as a major league player if you're not playing every day, if you're a starting pitcher and you're bouncing back and forth, you know, the D-backs are doing this right now with John Duplantier, who's their top pitching prospect. John Duplantier has gone up to the major league level where he's been a reliever, and then they've bounced him back down to Reno where he's been a starter, and then he's gone back up to the major league level and come out of the bullpen, then he's gone back to Reno and started. That, to me, I don't know how you make that work, and he's somehow doing
tough.
It.
Yeah.
But that seems like a nightmare to try to figure out a routine. And I've talked to him a couple of times this season, and a super, super bright and engaging kind of guy. And he talked when he was at the major league level about, like, I hadn't relieved since I was, like, I think when he was a sophomore in college was his last relief appearance,
right.
Maybe one in the minor leagues. And he was like, so I'm talking to guys about, like, how do I do this at the major league level? Like, what do I do to get prepared for this? And Jeff Hoffman's kind of
been
that way.
Where do I put my hands? Yeah.
Right, exactly. What do I do? Jeff Hoffman's sort of been that way over the last few seasons, in that they've thrown him into all these different roles. He's had one role in Albuquerque. He's had one role when he's been up at the major league level. He's never been able to find that groove. But maybe he is starting to get that figured out now. And if he and Peter Lambert are going to be guys who give you good starts every 5 days, you put yourself in a pretty decent spot.
Right now, your starting five is Marquez, Gray, Senzatella, Hoffman, Lambert.
It's not bad. It's not what we predicted in April, but
and therein lies the question that we must ask: what do you do with a boy like Kyle?
Wherefore art thou, Kyle Freeland? Last night, you're my and our homegrown ace for the AAA Albuquerque Isotopes on the road at Omaha, taking on the Storm Chasers. Here are Kyle Freeland's overall numbers: 5 innings pitched, 9 hits, 4 runs, 1 homer, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts.
He's a bum. Get rid of him.
57 for strikes. Not great. Obviously, he gave up a run in the first inning, 2 runs in the third, and another run in the fifth. The home runs against him came in the – or the one home run was a Bubba Starling home run.
That's former, a name I haven't heard in a while.
Former Royals first-round pick, former Nebraska quarterback.
I was going to say he's a two-way guy.
He's one of those guys. He hit a two-run homer in the third. But – and this is something that we tweeted out last night after the Topes posted Kyle's final line. As much as you want to read into the numbers that come out of his outings at Albuquerque, especially for these early ones, you really can't. They're really not going to tell you a whole lot. And that's frustrating because I'll admit, I've worked in baseball now for 10 years. I'll admit I'm not really smart enough to, if I sat down and watched that MILB TV broadcast last night of Kyle Freeland, I wouldn't be smart enough to figure out what exactly he's working on.
Yeah.
Or if it's going well. But the numbers right now are basically the equivalent of spring training numbers for him. You just can't put a ton of
stuff. And that's really hard as a fan because we know what Kyle Freeland was last year. We know that he was fourth in the Cy Young voting in the National League. We know he was, the guy who pumped in 6 2/3 brilliant innings in the wild card game. It hurts to see him struggle, and we want him to be good so badly. So we'll take any kind of good news for him in AAA as gospel. So we said this on Twitter last night, but don't worry about the numbers right now that Freeland's putting up in AAA because he's working on so many things. Unless the numbers are great, and then just hug them and never let them go again.
And that does sound like very self-serving, but I think it's accurate. If the numbers are bad, don't put a ton of stock into him because he's going to be working on so much mental stuff, so much mechanical stuff. He also had a balk last night. There are obviously things that he's trying to incorporate that the numbers might not be that good. But if it's 3-4 starts from now and all of a sudden Kyle Freeland goes out there and it's 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, then I think you start thinking, okay, it looks like things are clicking. Because when he is good, a Major League Cy Young contending pitcher should dominate AAA hitters, regardless of if it's 2019 Pacific Coast League or not. So when the numbers aren't good, they may look a little concerning, but he's out there working on so much stuff that I don't think they really tell much of a story. Whereas if they're good, I think there is a story to be told from that.
Yeah, and you worry that, we don't know what he's working on. We don't know who he's working with. We just hope that it goes quickly because we want to see him back up here. A few people posited on Twitter last night. I think our good buddy Reno Notaro did after Peter Lambert's performance last night. Said, the question isn't – he was quote tweeting Nate Kreckman, also a good friend.
I'm getting lunch with today.
Oh,
Nate's
nice.
Tweet was, is Peter Lambert an ace?
Yes.
Because for those of you who don't know, Nate has a segment on his show that he has done for the last couple of years called Is John Gray an Ace?
Yes. It's so good.
Now he's transporting it.
And Reno said, the better question is, will we see Kyle Freeland again? And the short answer to that is yes, obviously. The longer answer is yes, but we don't know when. Right now, if these five guys they have right now are pitching to major league quality, it gives Kyle Freeland time to work out his kinks and come back when he's ready. The Rockies have been the second best team in the National League since starting 3-12, only behind the Dodgers. In that time, they have been 29-17. Second best team in the National League in that time. For a good nearly
That's
2 months
baseball.
Now. For a good nearly 2 months, they've played at 630 ball.
That is some good
baseball. Yeah, which is outstanding. But
they are 10 plus
games. And they're playing for a wild card game this year. That's That's the cruel reality.
Yay.
It's June 7th, and the Rockies are playing for a one-game playoff right now.
Yay.
The rest of the season for a one-game playoff. My kingdom for a one-game playoff.
At least get it at Coors this year.
That's what you have to hope for, at least. So that's what sucks for Kyle Freeland right now is that – or it's good for us, sucks for Kyle Freeland, is that there are five guys, as it is constructed right now at this moment – that are pitching well enough to be in a big league rotation.
Yeah.
There is no spot right now, after one Peter Lambert brilliant start for Kyle Freeland.
Yeah.
Now, there might be a spot in a week. There might be a spot in 3 days. There might be a spot in 3 weeks. Who knows? But.
And eventually, if Kyle Freeland gets back to being Kyle Freeland, you make a spot for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. If he shows that he's ready to go and is back to his 2018 form or even his 2017 form, he's back in the rotation, taking the ball every fifth day like he has for the last 2 years. And that's the meat of the issue right there. He is a guy who's built up enough capital that when he's ready, he will be back in the big leagues no matter who is pitching in Denver at that point.
Right. So that's our homily on Kyle Freeland. Don't get too scared about it. It's going to be a work in progress for a little while.
Yes.
The Rockies go on the road to New York, where they will take on the New York Mets, tonight. They had not announced a pitching rotation, for this series for the last couple of days. What are the three problems?
They pushed Gray back to Saturday to
Senzatella that tonight.
Yeah, to let that hot spot or whatever it was.
That's right.
A little
under
bit.
His
so
fingernail.
It is Senzatella, DeGrom. It is Gray and Matz, and it is Hoffman and Syndergaard on Sunday.
Those are all three pretty intriguing matchups, actually.
Yeah, and the Mets are an intriguing team. They're not good per se, but they are something. Which,
with those three dudes comprising three-fifths of your rotation, I don't get how you can be bad, but they're the New York Mets.
Yeah,
they're two games under 500.
The Mets are always good at Met. That's the beauty of the Mets, is that they will always Met.
Yeah. Zach Wheeler, too, He's another one that we advocated trading for every year.
Yeah. And I would still advocate for that because he's still really good.
I'd be fine with that. So weird. That's what lies ahead. The Rockies then come home. They'll take on the Cubs for the first few days of next week. I'm going to go to that day game on Wednesday with a buddy of mine from high school. He said, you want to go to that game on Wednesday and maybe fight somebody who just moved here from Chicago? And I said, absolutely.
Those are the games that I avoid at all costs.
I've been to a Rockies Cubs game in I cannot tell you how long.
I'm not sure I've been to one since I was there when I think Sammy Sosa's three homer game, like back in 2000, I think. I was there for that one.
It's not a ton of fun.
And and this whole past series, I was very salty on Twitter about the Cubs. I've seen too much. I was there in 2016 through that whole run. There's not a fan base in the world I despise more than Cubs fans, and that is saying a lot.
Nate texted me the other day.
2016 was so awful for me, and I hate all of them. Yeah. Nate seems fine. I hate all of them.
He's pretty terrible too. He texted me the other day and he was like, I just need to know, we're going to talk about this on the show today. Can you encapsulate why Rockies fans hate Cubs fans so much? And I was like, how much time do you have? To say I would be looking forward to it next week is probably not accurate, but it'll be good to see my buddy Pat.
Yes.
So the Major League Draft, we'll talk a little bit real quickly about the Rockies' few picks. Michael Tolia, the first-round selection for the Rockies, who they nabbed out of UCLA. First baseman slash outfielder, according to Baseball America. He's 6'5", 200. He's a switch hitter. The final month of the season, he really started to heat up. Going into the final day of regionals, actually coming out of regionals this year, is a .316 hitter, 16 doubles, 16 homers, a .633 slugging percentage. Quote, Tolia has an easy swing from both sides of the plate with power to all fields. When his approach and swing are right, Tolia turns around high-end velocity and looks the part of a potential 30 home run hitter. He has had some dry spells when he gets too passive and allows his front side to drift, which causes him to lack hip rotation and leads to inconsistency with the swing plane. And then this. Tolia is an athletic is athletic and has the tools to be a plus defender at first base or an above average defender in the corner outfield. His power potential and athleticism bode well for his future, but scouts have some concerns about the swing and miss and inconsistency in Tolia's game, especially as he advances to the next level.
Right.
So he's still a work in progress, but I think the thing to take away from it is you're getting a guy at first base who's more polished than the first base guys you currently have.
Who is actually a first baseman.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, Tyler Nevin, who they really like over at first base, drafted as a third baseman. Grant Levine, who I think maybe has the highest ceiling, or at least is the most intriguing first base prospect in the system. He's a New Hampshire prep product. I think there's been one New Hampshire high school position player who's ever made the major leagues before, maybe two. Grant Levine's at Class A this year in Asheville. He's not really tearing the cover off the ball as of yet. He's going to be a long-time project, more than likely.
Yeah.
Michael Tolia, you're getting a not only a college guy, but a big-time college guy who's got the potential to climb pretty quickly. Like, if we saw him in Lancaster this year, I don't think that would really surprise
me. No. And, yeah, it's amazing getting a first baseman who actually plays first base is crazy.
Yeah, you know? It's so weird. Well, I don't know why they would go away from their, true formula.
Yeah, of just saying, anybody can play first base if you put a glove on them.
Yeah, anybody can. It's incredibly hard. The Rockies in the second round drafted a thick third baseman out of the University of Georgia, whose last name is Shunk. Aaron Shunk, S-C-H-U-N-K. And he was a two-way guy in college. He pitched. He was the closer at the end of the 2018 season for Georgia. And also did some of that this year, but played third base as well. And teams like him more as an offensive player, according to Baseball America. Quote, despite his lack of clear standout tools, which is kind of interesting. But the Rockies nabbed him in the second round. And then Carl Kaufman, who spells both of those names with Ks, he comes out of Michigan.
What's that middle name?
<I know. laughs> A right-handed pitcher out of the University of Michigan. He is a kind of classic Rockies pick. Quote, when Kaufman is on, he pounds the bottom of the zone with sinkers and sliders. His above-average fastball has solid sink, and his velocity has ticked up to 91 and 95 in the later parts of the season. So there you go. He's a Michigan guy.
Yeah.
Michigan man.
And they of course, took one Long Beach State guy, Zach Bayoun.
As always.
In the 17th round. They have to take Long Beach State guy every single draft. Bayoun was a really good reliever as a freshman, not a great starter, so I'm sure they're going to try to put him in the bullpen. We'll see. But, yeah.
They drafted Jorvit Torrealba's son. They
yes.
They drafted Danny Arduan's son. Like, what?
Ugh.
Yeah. So... That's interesting. As we have said in seasons past, you know, you can't really infer anything out of the major league draft. Unless you want to be like a hot take radio guy on Twitter who a few years ago attacked Rockies versus Connor and called him Hot Dog Boy and said that we'd never hear Brendan Rodgers' name ever again because the Monforts own the team or some,
hot dog
you know,
boy.
2007
yeah.
garbage take. The Major League Draft is such a
crapshoot. I miss Hot Dog Boy. Yeah.
I know. Hot Dog Boy was fun. That was our first introduction to him.
Yes, it was.
Hot Dog Boy. The Major League Draft is such a crapshoot. Like, you're not going to get guys. The best case scenario, basically, for anybody you take in the Major League Draft is that you'll see them in the big leagues in 2 years. Like, there are very few guys that come into the big leagues having spent less than 2 years in the minors.
Yeah, unless you're Mike Leake. Yeah.
Right. It happens, but it doesn't happen a lot. So... You can get excited about those guys, but get excited about watching them at Lancaster and at Hartford and at Albuquerque. And not to leave you out, Asheville, but the college guys, I don't think we'll see it. You know, there's a chance you could see, you know, Ryan Rolison, for example, last year, the Rockies' first round pick. He went to Grand Junction to start his career. But Kyle Freeland did that as well, I think. But those guys are probably going to climb through the middle and upper levels quicker than the high school dudes would. So get excited about it, but there's probably not a ton to really infer yet.
Nah, unless you're like you got the number one pick, you're drafting Steven Strasburg or something like
right.
that. Yeah, there's
or
Bryce Harper
Mize last year, who I think is going to be in the big leagues before long. Adley Rutschman, who thank God goes to the Baltimore Orioles instead of going to somebody like the San Francisco Giants.
Right.
Although the Giants got Joey Bart who's you know we're going to hate him for 20 years as well. And yeah, it's you know. It's all going to be great. They also got Hunter Bishop this year, the outfielder out of Arizona State, who just has that look of a Giants player that you hate because he's good and he's handsome.
Yeah, but he's not like gross and bearded.
Annoyed. Yeah, that's true. That is true. So I guess, one final thing that we want to, Anthony's got to go to work today, but one final thing that we wanted to touch on. The AA Hartford Yard Goats.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Earlier this week had a combined no-hitter going into the ninth inning in which New York Yankees farmhand, I'm not going to call him a prospect because he's 27 years old and in AA.
I think 120.
Matt Lipka. Yeah. Matt Lipka, a former first-round selection of the Atlanta Braves.
Back we were with the Braves organization in 2010. Yeah.
He bunted in the ninth inning to break up that Yard Goats no-hit bid.
Of a 3-0 game, I will
add. And we, you know, obviously we have to we have an appearance that we have to keep up on Twitter. And so I think accurately we said he should be arrested.
Yeah.
That was Anthony's thought.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with it. Yeah. You know, I think it's a chicken shit thing to do.
Yeah.
If it's a 1-run game, 2-run game, I guess even maybe a 3-run game, if it's kind of the save situation rule, the tying run's going to come into the on-deck circle if you get on with a bunt. All right, maybe you can make that argument. Plus, it's a combined no-hitter. Like, who really cares about a combined no-hitter that much? But according to NJ.com, Matt Lipka has reportedly received death threats for bunting to break up this no-hitter.
Which Hartford Yard Goat follower was it? Like,
right,
which
right.
one of you?
Who are you? The Yard Goats won that game 3-0, and the bench is cleared after it. Like, if you are a big enough loser to be threatening a 27-year-old AA player for bunting to break up a 3-run margin no-hitter in the ninth inning, get a hold of yourself.
Yeah.
Just, as I said on Twitter, please just blast yourself into the sun.
Just, like, no, like, get out of here. This is like, remember Ben Davis? He bunted off of Curt Schilling to break
Kurt
up a
Schilling.
Perfect game in the
Kurt
eighth
Schilling
inning of the game in 2001.
Shit.
And Bob Brenly lost his shit. Curt Schilling lost his shit.
And
that was a two-run game. Yeah.
And that, yeah, like, if you're going to bring the tying run to the plate, by all means, especially at the major league level.
Yeah.
Like, where winning and losing actually matters.
And it wasn't even a good bunt that Ben Davis had. It's like, dude, figure it out then. Like, you know.
Right, exactly.
Field the bunt.
Field your position, Curt Schilling. You might not have this problem.
Yeah, listen, like, is it – like, also, you're in AA, like, you know, whatever. Like, it's not a huge deal. Like, is it chicken shit? Yes. Like,
yeah.
But I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I don't think anyone's losing sleep over it.
No.
Like,
it's a double
shit,
A.
They should lose sleep over it.
I'm pretty sure four pitchers had worked in that game.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Yeah. There's a dust up afterwards. You know, the bench is cleared. There was a slight kerfluffle, if you would.
Brief Donnybrook.
Yeah. But that was pretty much it. There was nothing really else that went down. Like, I think cooler heads prevailed and nothing else happened the next day, I don't believe. So, I mean,
no, I don't think so.
But I don't know. It's just stupid. All of it's just dumb.
Don't
sending like a 27-year-old AA death threats, you idiots.
Right.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Right. And you can't even like have the, oh, maybe he had money on it. You can't, I don't think you can
bet on double games. Like,
bet on minor league games.
I probably.
Is this Australia where we're all degenerates?
I'm degenerates, yeah.
So anyway, don't be that guy. I think that's all.
Yeah.
Is that all?
I think we covered a lot in 40 minutes.
Yeah, we actually talked a little bit before the show today about what we wanted to cover. So I think that's all.
Yeah.
Anyway, go Rocks. And
Let's go Rocks.
we'll talk to you next week. He's Anthony. I'm Tyler. Love you.
Bye.